Matthew chapter 6, Jesus continues with his Sermon on the Mount. He continues by saying, "Be careful that you do not do your deeds of charity before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your deeds of charity, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward." So in other words, the only glory and praise they are going to have is whatever they get from man. God is not going to praise them for this because they are only doing it to be seen by men. Look at how wonderful I am. Look what I'm doing. But when you do deeds of charity, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is, what your right hand does, that your deeds of charity may be in secret. Of course, he doesn't mean that literally. He just means do it anonymously. You know, don't brag about it. Just do it. "And your Father who sees in secret shall himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward, and it's only going to be from man. God is not going to praise you for that. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret." A couple things about this. You don't literally have to go into a closet and pray. Just don't brag about it. Don't show it off. You can pray to God anywhere, anytime. The other thing I want to mention is Jesus says, when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. I have heard people in the past, I've heard them praying to Jesus. And I've never understood why they do that. We don't have any examples at all in the New Testament of anyone praying to Jesus. We don't have any commands to pray to Jesus. What we do have is Jesus telling us to pray to the Father. So I really think that that is the scriptural way to pray, is to pray to God the Father, not to Jesus and not to the Holy Spirit. "And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their many words." Every time I read that verse, I think about different people that are meeting in their different churches, and especially the Catholic Church. You'll hear them like all recite the same things, and it's like, why are you doing that? They just recite it out loud, and I've never understood that. What do you think you're accomplishing by that? Also, the what people like to call the Lord's Prayer, that's quoted a lot. We're fixing to read that, which I think is funny because he just says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And then people quote and misquote what they call the Lord's Prayer all the time. It's almost like God anticipates the things that man are going to do. Well, he does. He knows. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Therefore, pray according to this manner." Now, this is, like I said, this is what people usually call the Lord's Prayer. But it's not. The Lord's Prayer is actually in John 17. This is Jesus giving an example of a prayer. And it was never intended for you to vainly repeat it over and over and over again. And when you do use this prayer, you're actually not, it's not even appropriate to use this prayer. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. So Jesus' example prayer says, "Our Father," again, praying to the Father, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." Well, now let me just stop here for a minute. Hallowed be your name. I tell you what, here in America, the most overused phrase in the entire English language is, "Oh my God." And people use that for everything. every possible emotion, every possible scenario, when they're angry, when they're sad, when they're surprised. It's all the time people saying, oh my God, and it just makes me cringe. That is such a disrespect for God. You are using his name in vain. That was even one of the Ten Commandments, not to use God's name in vain. Do you think God appreciates it every time people say, oh my God, this and oh my God, that? Stop. Stop doing that. I hate that. It's so disrespectful. Anyhow, I'll get off my soapbox. Okay, so, and, well, hold on. Let's turn to Psalm 139:20 before we move on. So Psalm 139:20, I have a reference here. So even back then, they were using God's name in vain. The psalmist says, for they speak, and they're talking about God, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. And we do it still today. Take his name in vain. Use it as curse words, as just constantly. And not just God's name. I hear people using Jesus' name in vain. The Holy Spirit, not so much. But don't do it. It's disrespectful, and it's a sin. Okay, so back to the beginning. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is why, first of all, we shouldn't quote this constantly because it's a vain repetition that Jesus said don't do. But also, your kingdom come. He's talking about the church. Your kingdom come. Well, the church hadn't come yet when Jesus was saying this example prayer. But it has now. It's been here for 2,000 years. So saying your church come, you are in essence saying, oh, we're still waiting for your church to come. And that's just not appropriate. So the Lord's Prayer is, one, not the Lord's Prayer. It's an example prayer that the Lord gave. It's not to be quoted over and over and over again because that is a vain repetition. And it's inappropriate anyway because the kingdom has already come. The kingdom is the church. And he continues with the example, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Like I said, this is just an example prayer. The Lord's Prayer is actually in John 17. So Jesus continues, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, your Father will not forgive your trespasses. And what we'll see in a further passage that we'll get to later, that in order for us to have the authority to forgive someone, they must repent first and ask for our forgiveness. We should always have the attitude of being ready to forgive somebody. But we do not have the authority to forgive somebody if they refuse to repent and ask for it. So we need to keep that in mind. Now he's going to go into fasting. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad face, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, their only reward is going to be men being impressed by their show of piety. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, shall reward you openly. Now, I've heard before, you know, the question, is fasting required? Is fasting a command? I do not believe fasting is a command. It's completely optional. The reason I believe that is because there are no instructions on fasting. So if God does not give us instructions on fasting, how can it be a command? He doesn't tell us when to fast, how often to fast, what exactly fasting would include. Does that include water or no water or a little bit of food or no food at all or some juices or no juices? And we have no instructions whatsoever on fasting. So obviously fasting is allowed. It's completely optional, but it's not a command. Okay, now he's going to go into prioritizing your life, having your priorities right. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Of course, again, this is figures of speech, as he so often uses. He's not talking about literal treasures. He's talking about what is important in your life. What's important in our lives should be spiritual matters, not earthly matters, not money and luxuries and material things. What should be important in our lives is spiritual things. He says, the eye is the light of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I think he's referring to our focus. You know, what is our main focus in life? If it's to obey God and get to heaven, that's a good thing. If your focus is just your life here on earth and how much material gain you can have, that's darkness. It's not going to do you any good. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches. And you cannot have one foot in the Lord's church and one foot in the world. It doesn't work that way. You have to pick. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they do not sow. They neither reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? What Jesus is trying to tell them is this world is designed for our needs. We have everything in this world that we need. It's designed for our needs. So we shouldn't worry so much about it. And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Again, this world is designed for our needs. That doesn't mean that there aren't people that go hungry and don't have clean water and don't have clothes to wear. I mean, we see that, especially in third world nations. But we have to understand, not only is this world designed for our needs, but the church is also designed for our needs. And if we focus on our spiritual matters, and we are members of the Lord's church, the members of the Lord's church will look out for each other and will provide each other whatever needs they have. That's one of the many, many benefits of being a member of the Lord's church. Okay, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or with what shall we be clothed? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of heaven, that's the church. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Again, benefits of being a member of the Lord's church. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall worry about its own things. The day has enough of its own evil. And that is chapter 6.